You are now part of a social experiment.
Welcome to Mastermind, the show where you learn to develop and master your skill from the best of the best. Here's your host, Mr. G.
Thank you for joining us today on the journey towards self-mastery. Our next guest is the author of 10 books, and he has 3 different podcasts. He's the founder of the world's largest self-publishing company, Self-Publish in 30 Days, which has helped over 500 authors publish their books, including WNBA champion coach Q, executive producer of Steve Harvey Show, Kim Gagne, 9-year NFL veteran Darius Butler, and many, many, many more. The mission of Self-Publish in 30 Days is to debunk the myth that it takes years to write a book and to publish one, and also to empower people all over the world to share their story and take their life to the next level. Let's welcome today, Mr. Darren Palmer, to the program. Mr. Palmer, how are you doing today, sir?
Man, I'm doing fantastic, man. I started to look back and see who you was talking about, man. But I think Steve Harvey might be in trouble, man, because you know how to bring somebody out, man. For those who need a nugget of Black history, go back and watch King of Comedy or whatnot about Steve Harvey bringing people out. So, you know, Mr. G, man, you did a great job on that, brother. Thank you so much for having me, man. And salute to you for all the things that you're doing for us, you know, taking us to the next level yourself, man, for us, this podcast.
I appreciate you, man. Definitely not hard work at all. You have just a wealth of information and work that you've been doing, man, 24/7, man. I don't know when you sleep, but we'll figure that all out in our interview today. So I was kind of going through some things that you've done, going through your book. I have your book, Market Leader Mastery. That's one of the ones that I actually picked up and read, which was really good. So in your book, you say that writing a book is the new college degree. And I thought that was really fascinating, man. That was an interesting statement. So can you elaborate on that? I know most people don't even think like that in regards to like writing the book. Why do you say it's the new college degree?
I say it's the new college degree because, you know, for one, it's a great question. That's, you know, so you already starting off on the good foot, so to speak. the reason I say that it's a college degree is because we're in an era where when we talked about debunking myths earlier, far as the reason why I even created the company was to debunk myths of the time that it would take to do a book. But it's the same way when we look at our educational system. Companies, I know, especially even with our company and others, they're looking for what are the soft skills? What are the things that you can do? You know, people can just print a degree off now. It doesn't, it doesn't hold the same weight. I'm not knocking education at all, but I really believe in getting the right education that's a skill set, that allow for you to be able to create opportunities for you and your family and others around you. And that's what people are looking for. You're seeing more and more companies taking it off their list for as a prerequisite for you to have, you know, degrees from, most historical institutions when it comes to what we think of degrees. People need people who are coming into the workforce. They're able to create content that have been able to do something, to accomplish something, be able to execute upon something, or have the right type of thinking. So most the workforce is looking for entree leaders, and with people who were furloughed and let off, they had to learn new skill sets. So to me, the book is a representation of that because it's something that goes before you. So when they have that book, it shows quite a bit of things like what some people will look at for as a degree of showing that you can finish a task, that you can complete something. It's the things that go into the ingredients of putting a book together besides just words and on pages and a cover that goes into putting a book. And that's typically what HR departments or even leaders, if you own your own company, if you have clients, they want to see that you've been able to prove that you've done something. And typically most people hold, and this has been studies shown that have shown this, most people, someone can have a book, but they're looked at the same way that somebody has a doctorate, far as if they're in front of a person. So that ooh and ah, somebody having a doctorate now, that's the same way that someone who probably don't even have a GED can have a book and they can still get the opportunity that somebody has a doctorate. Now, of course, they won't let you go in and do surgery, but I'm just sharing it has the same weight when it comes to creating opportunities and allow for you to get into doors. So that's what I was meaning in the book when it came to that particular statement.
That makes a ton of sense. That makes a ton of sense. Now, you know, when somebody might look at self-publishing 30 days, And you guys are kind of going against the whole, it takes a long time to write a book. But a lot of people deeply believe that. And people deeply believe that if you're going to write a quality book, it might take years and it might take, you know, a lot of thought, writing every once in a while, gathering of information and all these type of things. So when people look at 30 days, they're like, is this going to really be a quality book that somebody has written? So how do you answer that?
Yeah, for one, the name of the company is Self-Publishing 30 Days. So it's to go against the traditional thought of that it take years to do a book. But some books don't take 30 days. Some of them can be 60 to 90 to 120 days. The main goal is for you to expedite the process compared to if you were doing it by yourself. Most people, when it comes to their projects, it end up being longer than what it should be. It's because they don't have any accountability. So we have a system that walk with people step by step that allow for them to be able to go to the next level as far as getting their books done. Most people, it's similar. It's not just with publishing. It's the same thing where you have people. You can have somebody who's, 100, 200 pounds overweight. And literally 100, 200 pounds overweight. They can know more about what it is to be healthy or what it takes to get in shape than somebody who's a trainer at a local gym. The difference between the two is the execution of what you know. And so that's our secret sauce. We create, for one, a community, also systems with tangible steps and accountability that allow for you to do what you know to do. You can know what to do, but find yourself watching episodes on Netflix, eating hot Cheetos with no accountability, and you still don't accomplish your goal. It's the same way with people with books. They can confuse themselves or deceive themselves into thinking that they're going to get a book done. But what they're doing is they're going with a method of what they did in grade school. They're writing like they're writing a term paper for British Lit or chemistry. So they never get it done because they don't know that what worked for that won't work for this. And so that's the separator for those who get things done and those who don't. So you're right. The quality can be done. But if you're trying to use your own mindset of how that can be accomplished, for one, you got people who got years of experience and you got a process that can get that done. So yeah, if you are going out trying to ship some in a 2-day period, or if you're trying to use a drone to ship something, well, you know, Amazon has years of experience and they've done a lot of beta testing that allows for them to have a learning curve that you don't have. So that's the difference why with even the medical field with the Mayo Clinic, nobody goes to the Mayo Clinic and say, I got half off coupons for my family member to have surgery or to be able to get the assistance that they need. You know that this is something that's priceless for the life of that loved one that you have, and you want them to have the best care. So you carry them to the Mayo Clinic, or I'm just using different things, John Hopkins, depending on where you are in the world. Those are the type of people that you want to look over your family, friends, and loved ones, because they have experts. So when you have experts, we're able to do things that other people can't do. That's why, you know, those who have the budgets, the resources, leaders and thought leaders who need to get something done the right way, they call in experts. So that's the difference, man.
Got it. All right. So I kind of want to get behind the person behind the Self-Published in 30 Days and kind of get, you know, your story and coming up and your childhood experiences and things that kind of led you to where you are right now, man. 10 books, 3 different podcasts. You're working with all, you know, over 500 different authors. Just doing amazing work, man. So can you walk us, can we take a journey back into your childhood? Were you an avid reader? Did you have a lot of authors in your family? Did you enjoy books? Like what type of kid were you?
Man, excellent question once again. Now, when it comes to my childhood, I'm just going to be honest. I was in a situation where, you know, it's the stereotypical type of thing that you might hear from some of the, you know, I call it some of the hood movies or whatnot, so to speak. It was one.
But it's real, though. It's real, though, man.
It's real, though. It's real, though. It's real. So it came to a situation where my parents, you had 2 kids that had kids before you were able to get endorsement deals and be able to be on US Weekly and have a show on MTV. My mom was pregnant at 16 or whatnot. Wow. They had me before 16. Her and my dad, you know, jog, you know, kids, you know, mess around. They were doing some of the things that other kids were doing. They just got caught. You know, that showed up as, you know, having a baby. My grandmother, all she knew was that I don't want my baby to have a baby at that particular time. And so the idea that they came up, the decision that they made was to have an abortion. So during that time, they were able to set up an appointment to have the abortion. People are picketing in the front. You know, they had to bring my grandmother and my mom through the back, get them in. My mom laying on the table, you know, crying profusely. They're getting ready to abort me. Doctor comes back in and said, you know, sorry. No, we had you all come here, but we can't move forward. Actually, there's been a law passed that this kid is too far along to be able to do this abortion. Wow. So with that being said, I actually wasn't too far along for the abortion. I was just big for my size. So, wow. You know, moving from that or whatnot, and dad having a situation where, you know, running around doing some things, you know, himself got caught up. So by the time I am born, my dad ended up doing like a little bit, not too much, but him and my mom, you know, they were teenagers. So by the time they're 16, 17, 18 years old, things had changed. So, but growing up, my mom, it was a single parent home. I was the oldest. I loved reading and all of that, but I'm going to be straight up and honest to fast forward this. I was more, you know, into sports and other things like that. I didn't really care about, you know, books to the point I had a high reading average or whatnot, but I didn't think I was going to do anything with books at all. I knew I wanted to do business.
Where'd you grow up in? I grew up in Texas, man.
Northeast Texas, man. Country. You know, you can hear the Southern drawl like Tim McGraw in my voice or whatnot, Southern gent. But with that being said, I grew up in a rural area, but was able to go to college at Stephen F. Austin, failed British Lit, spent more time, you know, chasing girls or wasn't, you know, chasing girls and smoking weed and playing John Madden and watching old school pimp movies. But at the same time, I had a great connection for his networking that I did. Great experience. Love the university. Still go back to it. But I ended up getting into real estate at a time that it was booming before 08 and 09. Then actually went to West Palm Beach area and stayed. And then I had, you know, through parties and things like that. But this is the thing that turned it around. I always had a mindset for us. I got into personal growth. And with me getting into personal growth, it was before podcasts took off. And so I was listening to podcasts, but I always understood the importance of investing in yourself. So I went to a conference. One of the things that was there, I had people that kept reaching out to me about speaking. And so I ended up going to an event to improve my skills as a speaker for somebody who was taking it to the next level. And then I realized that it was before everybody was just saying, do a book to get business. I heard a guy say like, hey, Darren, if you want to take it to the next level for institutions and people who are actually hiring and paying speakers, you need to be looked at as a market leader or expert at what you're doing. You need to have a book. And so I made a commitment to do that book after I left that event. And it changed the trajectory of my life, man. And so that's how I started. I didn't have the company. I didn't have none of those things. From me solving a problem for myself, I realized that it's others who had that same type of need. Now, they didn't all happen at one time. I did the book first to solve a problem for myself. But with me continuing to invest in myself by listening to shows like this, I heard another gentleman that shared with me partnering with other people. He realized he was in the industry where he was competing, and he realized that the secret sauce was about collaborating. So even though I did a book for myself and I was doing that speaking business, I later on through my development, it morphed into me creating opportunities of different products from what I learned using my experience and my expertise. And that gave birth to a process that ended up being the birth of self-publishing 30 days because I started collaborating. So I wasn't competing for keynotes or workshops with people anymore. I was helping assist them by being experts by what I was taught that would allow for them to get more engagements and allow for them to make more money in the back of the room and be looked at as a market leader. So that's more of an evolution to the kid that you saw that went to college, failed British Lit. They had no idea that he was going to be in publishing at all. And that morphed. And so I realized that speaking was cool, but that the actual business was the publishing. So I had to learn the difference. And I want those who are listening to this to pick up on this nugget. It's supply and demand, simple economics. Allow the marketplace to tell you what they want. Mm. I was thinking that Les Brown was about 150 at that point. He's about 180 right now. You know, shout out to Les. Les good people. I'm just giving him a hard time. But at the same time, I was thinking to myself, we needed some new blood. I'm like, you know, these guys is old, you know, at that time. And I'm thinking to myself, so you got to be hungry. I had my Les Brown pitch down, man. I was ready to rock. I was ready to roll. But then all of a sudden, this is where you got to die to ego and die to pride. Because I thought I was going to be doing one thing, but the marketplace told me another. The people were investing and wanted assistance with the books. So I had to turn that off. I could still use that skill set, but I had to reframe how I was looking at it and give the people what they were willing to invest for. So for some of you who are looking for your purpose and your passion out there, you got to be able to line the three P's in order: purpose, then passion, which leads what to fuel you, but you got to be able to profit too as well. So the oxymoron to it, the catch 22 to it is this, is that I actually get paid for more speaking engagements now because I actually accomplished something with having the number one self-publishing company in the world. So now I don't even reach out for people as much like I did beforehand. But because of what I've accomplished with the publishing industry and the other things, I get more speaking engagement where I still use that skill set and have that company. But I had to make the pivot, or I came into the fork in the road where I had to choose which way to go. So I want those who are listening to this, whether it's going to get a degree, whether it's a relationship or something with a child or mending a broken relationship, keep in mind while you're listening to my man, Mr. G, and you're hearing from your boy DMP, the understanding of allowing the marketplace. So many people, Mr. G, they get caught up because they're giving people, they leave a 9-to-5 and they're doing what they think everybody wants. And they're not listening to what the people are saying that they want or what the industry needs. And so that's why most of them fail. But I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to buy all your products and services? Are you going to pay for everything? Because if not, you might want to listen to the people who are actually making an investment and the people who are actually going to compensate you for your services. Unless you're going to buy everything yourself, then you need to listen to the people who are actually buying. So, I hope that was helpful.
That makes sense. No, that was a huge nugget you just laid down right there, man. That makes perfect sense, man. Because I think a lot of times we get into, well, this is what I want to do kind of thing. And I agree, man. If you're selling something, you have to look at what it is that people need and what they want. And it could be a lot of different things. It doesn't have to be just one thing, but just having that understanding and that communication with, you know, the people that are supporting your work is important, I think. So definitely agree with that. As far as you, like you have 10 books, like I'm just still fascinated by that. Can you walk us through like the first book that you put together? Like what were, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly out of doing that? Like, were you a good writer before? Were you good with grammar and punctuation and creating what it is that you wanted to do? Did you know what you wanted to write about? Like, what was that process like for you from beginning to end?
Man, I would say when it comes to my first book, it was Extraordinary Over Ordinary, Stories of Leadership from the Past and Present. I was big into leadership and learning from others. Like I told you, with my personal or professional development, when it came to that, man, I was ravenous. I was hungry when it came to that. And so when I did the first book, I knew that I wanted to do it, but I also had, and this is something that I want those who are out there who are even thinking about doing a book of business or relationships or whatever it may be. One of my favorite quotes is this: you know, wherever you have clarity of vision, you have acceleration to the known goal. Wherever you have clarity of vision, you have acceleration to the known goal. So unconsciously, I was doing that without knowing it. But I knew that for one, I wanted to be able to be looked at as a leader, as a market leader when it came to leadership. That was for like HOSA or Future Business Leaders of America, Freshman Orientation Days. I knew my avatar and my target audience. So I created content that aligned with my skill set that could be beneficial for those who were investing for me to come and speak to their organizations. So when I did that, I realized, okay, what can I do to be able to create a win-win, which is one of our core values with the company? So I realized, like, let me utilize, and people will always remember stories. So now I don't have to reinvent the wheel. I can copy genius. So I don't have to have this book actually be a memoir about me. I can share some details about me, but I can use stories, some of my favorite leadership stories, or and extract from those stories examples of principles or points that I think that would be beneficial for those particular organizations. And that's how I crafted the first book. Now, by the way, I didn't have to be so consumed because the content and the data was out there. It was more like doing some research on it, putting it in a bite-sized piece to be able to get that done. But I realized that a done book was better than a not done book. And so I realized that. And then also, I didn't have to know everything by myself. I didn't need to have a degree in bookology, so to speak, to be able to get the project done. I think that's another Achilles heel for so many people. They think they have to know everything. You don't not have to know everything. It's not, you know, it's not the how, it's the who, like what Dan Sullivan talks about. You know, you have to understand, well, there's people out there who edit. So I don't need to focus on that. I need to focus on them editing it, because at the end of the day, the final product won't be my rough draft. It will be where somebody else who this is what they love to do doing it. So I don't need to go and take a master class when it comes to content creation and how to do all this. I don't need to be the next Steven Spielberg or Tracy McMillan or whatnot, or Alex Haley with Roots. I don't have to do that. I don't have to be Ernest Hemingway looking out a window in Havana, Cuba, whatnot, trying to write the next masterpiece. I'm here to get some content crafted and put together to be able to understand what the real goal is, to get in front of the right people and have a resource to be looked at as a market leader and an expert. I think, too, having that clarity of vision is also knowing the goal. So don't think that your book. So some people have unrealistic expectation. So what they end up doing is they create a prerequisite that they shouldn't have. If you know that you don't have, okay, you're trying to compete with Michelle Obama when Michelle Obama has a different goal with what she's doing with her book. You don't have Michelle Obama's budget. You don't have Michelle Obama's husband. So why in the world would you put yourself in a category with somebody like that when that's not realistic? You know, you're setting yourself up for failure. And so also you're copying what you see somebody do on IG, on Instagram or Snapchat, or, you know, you're following what they're doing, but you didn't know that the method that they use really wasn't successful. They were just copying what they saw somebody else doing. So now you're in Barnes and Noble, people are spilling lattes on you, wasting your family member's Saturday at 11 a.m. because they're trying to support you, but they really don't want to go. Or you're in somebody's church sanctuary, whatnot, a fellowship hall, and sweet tea is being spilt on your books and you're not making any money. Or you have said that you're a bestseller, but really you're not a bestseller. You just gave the book away for free so you could get a sticker, when I can give a sticker to my six-year-old son who's in kindergarten. So the thing is now you have what we call BR, book remorse, because you didn't have a strategy at the beginning. So when it came to me, I knew what those goals were. And to just show you, and I never did change this book, and you can go look this up. I never did change this about the book. I did the best that I could at that time because I didn't know of a company like mine.
Right.
So with that being said, I took a cover that me and my brother had did for my mom for one of those, I'm getting a little bit up there in birthday celebration. So we took one by a local park. I cropped that out. You know, it's distorted. The image is somewhat distorted. And I used that image and had it done, but I never did change that image because it shows what perseverance means. And I like to show how we have evolved over time. So the book that you have with the Market Leader Mastery book is totally different far as the interior design, the cover, and the whole nine. So don't despise your day of small beginnings for people that's out there. The people who really rock what you want to be a part of your journey to see you evolve and to see how you cultivate what you're doing over time. I think so many of us want to act like we are polished. Let me give you an example of this, and this is just some Southern knowledge here. Yes, you can't put a 40-year-old head on a 4-year-old body. Some things are just going to come from experience and are going to take time. And not even at your best, a 4-year-old probably will not have the discernment or the wisdom that somebody who's 40 years old has. You know, even if that 40-year-old person is immature, some things by just living and experience that person will get. If you're in relationships or you are in business, is certain things people should be able to look and see your growth. So don't think and put that yoke upon your neck, upon your shoulders of thinking that you have to look like something that you're not. Don't mean that you don't do your best. You do your best or get with the experts who can cut your learning curve, but still it should be a process. Like this podcast right now that we're on, I should be able to look, and I'm just using this in 18 months. I'm just using this as an example, 12 to 18 months. This podcast should not look the same.
You are right.
Because you should have growth. You see what I'm saying? Whether it's a new tech, whether it's a new app, whether it's whatever you're doing, it should be different. And I should be able to see growth. So that doesn't mean I won't get on the podcast now because you don't look like what you will look like in 5 years from now. That's silly. That's ridiculous. But the growth component is what you want to add. So yeah, that's why I wrote that book. Those are some of the things that I learned from that book. Of course, I've gotten better over time, but also the people that I work with have gotten better. You know, I got experts, people that were, that I thought were good at that particular time. I have some people that are extraordinary at this time. So you typically start to attract people as you continue to evolve on the level where you're going. You attract people like who you are.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So you have the same team or from
the No. The team has evolved over time. So, you know, at first I had where I was just doing some freelance work. First, it was just like more like a course. Then it switched up to where I realized just doing some coaching. Then it more from just doing a coaching to where I just outsourced some of the things that I knew that a person would need to get the book done and kept the difference. And then I realized that I wanted to control far as the experience that the clients have. And so then that's when I started getting into, you know, actually having people in-house and hiring. And so that's when I went to that. And then, of course, you know, the goals and, you know, how the company is, you know, the desires and the goals for the company change. Even right now, as we speak, and this is towards the end of February, in March of this year, we're actually doing another shift where we're restructuring some things as a company where the investment to work with us is going up. We're looking at being a Rolls Royce of self-publishing. Our ideal is to be able to create more experience. So it's more of quality instead of quantity for us. And so we're creating some, you know, new things like we're doing NFTs for authors, creating a better experience. We're steady staying on top of the game for that. So we're not competing with people who are just trying to be in categories to say they're number one and all of that. We're creating experience for business leaders, you know, pastors, you know, small business owners. That's our target audience and our avatar. And so we put enough work in the game where we know, like, hey, it's just like Rolls Royce. We're not competing with Kia or, you know, Hyundai or whatnot. You know, they got their own league. They're still eating too. Their vehicles are still great. I got a Kia. So nobody not knocking Kia. I got a Kia minivan. You'll see me with my wife and kids in my Kia minivan. I still got swag. I'm still dripping, you know, when I come through, you know, when I'm with my kids. But those are one of the vehicles we have when we travel as a family. But I want to create the Rolls Royce experience. So that's a different avatar. That's a different client. Will it upset some people? Yes, but we're choosing to go to a higher level because it's less competition when you focus on customer experience instead of customer service. It's a big difference.
That makes a ton of sense, man. Thank you for those gems, man. And along with that, I'm thinking like 10 books and, you know, you're still producing books. So why continue to write books? You know, the proof is in the pudding. Like you got 10 stuff out there already. Could kick your feet up, monetize off of those 10 and call it a day. So why do you continue?
Well, you know, it's always a new level. Just like, you know, why keep reading or why read a different book? Because it's something that repetition is the key to learning. It's a nugget of something that will actually keep tomater, top of mind awareness. If you're not careful, you will drift. So if you're not ongoing for your growth or for its goals, then what you will do is go back to your default. And I think that's something that people are not aware of. So they acquiesce to those former habits because they'll show up. And so when it comes to me, when it comes to the books are evolution of who I like to share this with some people because it's they typically won't do a book or finish a book because they're always sharing that, oh, wow, but you know, I'm glad I didn't do it that year because it was some more stuff because my story wasn't complete. Well, you're always evolving. You're always evolving. So you have to write, and this is going to help somebody. You have to write for the season that you're in. Let me say that for the people in the back. You have to write for the season that you're in. So once again, we're able to see your growth over time. So my business model changed. It was a total different business when I first started writing. So I wrote some books dealing with leadership at first for speaking, because I knew who the avatar was, because I knew what I was, who I was writing to. I had to know my audience. But then I, you know, transformed, went into a different business structure, went into publishing, but I had a publishing company, but didn't have any content for people who needed services when it came to publishing. So I needed to create the same thing that you have in Market Leader Mastery. I had to create content that was around me being the chief book officer of the number one self-publishing company in the world. So then I had to start focusing on those areas of expertise. And it's not just so I can say that I'm an expert. The reason that we create the content is to serve the people. So I need to create a book for us. This is the year for your new book, where I'm giving you tangible steps on how to get started. Because what is one of the biggest questions? I got a book. I got a story. I don't know how to get started. So it's my fiduciary responsibility to create content for people so they can know how to get started. And so that begets one thing to another. And you start creating systems to be able to benefit people. Like even what you see with me doing NFTs for authors right now. Okay, why am I learning and growing that? Because it's really transferable into other industries, but it allows for me to be able to stay cutting edge. And, you know, while people are looking at still getting stickers saying they're the best sellers, we over here, we're in the metaverse. You see? So those are the things that you gotta, that you gotta understand. So not meaning that I don't use it for other areas of my business, and I don't help clients who have brick and mortars when it comes to that type of stuff too, as well. But when you see the likelihood of people like Mr. Wonderful off Shark Tank, even though he talked down on it, now he's, you know, an advocate for it because he saw how I can help brick and mortars, not just about bored apes and just, you know, artwork. This is really technology and things that's beneficial when business owners learn how to really use it. But those who are the early adopters are the ones who are able to own the space, just like how you have early adopters when it comes to content creation, who took advantage of this content and this platform and this medium called YouTube. They were able to get ahead of everybody else on YouTube. And so their subscribers and their base is different. The algorithm worked different for them because they was able to get ahead. By the time everybody else caught up, yeah, they can still get traction. Yeah, they still there. But the early adopters are the ones who are able to excel because they're willing to take a shot and invest in a particular area. So the reason I create content and the reason I write books is because the needs for the people, I have to make sure I'm meeting the needs of the people. And as the world changes, then, of course, even when it comes to doing business and doing consulting with people, you might have had an idea, but all of a sudden you run up on a 2020. How do you do business now? If your 5-year plan that you had in 2015, nobody had COVID on a 2020 besides Bill Gates and somebody else. You see what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know, shout out to Bill. Much love.
Yes, sir.
Y'all don't say nothing to him. Much love to him. We love all people, man. I'm just showing love on here. Just a podcast. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I am not a health professional. But with that being said, you have to understand that it's a need to be met. And another need that needs to be met is you have to keep growing and have something fresh to say in addressing the needs of your people. So you got to keep a pulse on the market. So that's the reason I create content. It's really not monetary. The reason why I'm doing it for is just saying books for $20 book sales. It's more to create content that's still fresh and relevant to those out there. So now all of a sudden you're able to connect. Let me just give one more gem when it comes to that real quick. And you see this in the Market Leader content stuff.
Yes, sir.
When I create the content that I create, I'm really not looking for the dollar for what I put out. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. It goes back to the same philosophy that I had when it came to the books. I really wasn't doing a book for the $20 book sale. I was doing the book to be looked at as an expert. So somebody would pay me 10 or 20 or 50 grand to come in and do a presentation or to do a keynote. And then I would have the books that I would be able to have as a line item to be able to get compensated even more because I have book sales, or I can include the books in the packaging that allow for me to be more profitable and also be able to serve the needs of the people that were there. Because people can do keynotes, but most of the people forget what you talked about before the day is out. They might remember one or two things. But when you're able to go in and be more of service and say, hey, I'm going to talk about this, but take this book, have the students or have your staff or have your HR department take this book with them. So now all of a sudden they can actually go ahead. You can have small groups. You can have them work together so they can do more of a deep dive. So it's more added value for you having me come in. Now I'm adding more value. The same thing goes along. The reason why I create books, the reason why I do podcasts, everything that I do. Now, some people do a podcast because their goal is to get so many subscribers and people there, and then they can do ads. Well, that's one model that works for a person like, say, for instance, John Lee Dumas or whatnot, or if you got Joe Rogan, people like that, because that's their business of podcasts, or Howard Stern with radio and XM, things like that. That's their business model. Okay, mm-hmm. That's not my business model. So the reason I do it is for this reason. When someone looks at investing with me or looking at us as the Rolls Royce of self-publishing, they would have seen accumulation of all the work that we had put down. And so what they're going to do is Google us. And when they Google us, the SEO is going to show up of this wealth of information that we have put out to the world. They don't know if we had one person that looked. They don't know if we had a million people look. But when they see all of that and all the data, it's called social proof. When they see that social proof that we are who we say we are by the content, the shows, and everything is lining up, now when it's time to swipe the card, now when it's time to send the crypto, now when it's time to move forward with our company, they have the social proof because they've already, we're dealing with a different type of seller, Mr. G. The people have already did their research on you before they even reach out to you. So by the time they've Googled you and checked you out, when you have so much and pages of information where it shows that you are the expert, because, well, he got a show. Man, he's interviewed all these people. Man, he got that many books. I mean, surely he should. Well, it makes more sense for me to go with that particular person. So those are some of the things that we will look at, some 300 level when it comes to having market leader mastery of that people need to think about. But if I'm trying to act like I'm John Lee Dumas or Joe Rogan, then that method wouldn't work for me. Now, if I was looking at subscribers, I would have to worry about that. But when I'm putting out the content, I'm just putting out the content. When I'm doing my shows, then my team, they will add some other things and make it sound. But I'm old school Mike Tyson, black trunks, ashy ankles and black shoes, you know, and coming into the ring, because I'm putting out the just raw content because I don't want to have to do all the extra editing and putting music and all of that. Now, a lot of other people do that, but I come and do the polar opposite because I'm looking at the SEO to create an opportunity for me. That's what I'm doing it for. Now, somebody else, that wouldn't work for them because they're looking at creating a podcast as their business model compared to where I'm looking at it for is social proof and SEO. So, man, them are some gems, man. Whoever on this show, man, y'all getting over $100,000, $1 million worth of game on here today, man.
That is facts. That is facts, man. Appreciate that, man. Thank you for that, because I feel like a lot of people that have that game and that information, they're like, well, I'm just going to give you a little tiny piece of that. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to come on and give you, like, you know, the whole gamut, like, of information of, you know, what you could do. And I appreciate you coming on and just giving us as much information as possible. And not just like, well, I'll give them a little inch, you know what I mean? kind of thing. Another thing I wanted to talk to you about is when it comes to who it is that's behind the book. I think oftentimes, you know, we kind of think about that it has to be a certain type of person, you know, that's writing the book and whatnot. So just in your experience, who's the youngest you've dealt with and the oldest? And then do you think that, you know, a middle school, elementary, high school kid can write a good book, and an elderly over 80 person can write a good book as well? So who can be a good author in your view? And then who have you kind of had that, you know, examples of that you've worked with?
Yeah, man. Excellent question, man. I've had people from, you know, 6 years old to like 88 that I've had that we've done shows for. And what I mean by shows is that shows for is not only shows, but also with them doing their books where they're authored books. And one young lady, she does quite a bit, like, you know, shows, other events, her parents, you know, kind of like those child stars or whatnot. She has a deal where she does modeling or whatnot for those in the Texas area, whatnot, with Bluebell Ice Cream. She's on the, she's a, you know, beautiful little young black girl that's on the Bluebell ice cream sandwiches and whatnot. My 6-year-old son, he's like, "This your client, daddy?" But he's finding a way to get ice cream. So, you know, I got to watch his sales, you know, saying sales skills on it. He's negotiating on me. But yeah, she did a book. And even I'm looking at my 6-year-old son, he got a book that he's doing that he was able to work with his, you know, mom on to get done. And it was just really kind of covering things in his age group that we was able to talk about, that he was able to do. But also the things that has inspired me too, Mr. G, is the people that I've seen that have done books, who I think is like 86 or 88 was one of the, you know, some of the oldest, but I had several women of different nationalities who were still growing in their 80s and got it done. And unfortunately, and this just show you how things work out, man. And fortunately, you know, this is not to act like it's trying to push somebody. They got the books done and was full of life. And a few years later, some of them passed away. And what it has meant to their families, knowing that they got that book done. And so those are some things. And I've seen a lady that wasn't even in her 80s, you know, was a prime, you know, just a health nut, beautiful blonde up out of the DMV area. And man, she had a situation where she ended up having a situation with a relationship and committed suicide and what it meant to her family. So I'm just sharing with you that this is bigger than just a $20 book. This is bigger than just saying that I'm on Amazon. And I'm not knocking that. That's an accomplishment, Barnes and Nobles and all that. But to have a book and to have something that is representing you, that's going to outlive you, to me, that's the real value when it comes to books or whatnot. So we've worked with people from mothers of churches to Fortune 500 CEOs, NFL players. The list goes on. We've worked with all type of people who literate, people who was on a whole stroll to now all of a sudden they're preaching now. You know, I mean, it's all walks of life for the people that we've worked with. And so just to see that, to me, is very important. And I got to throw this nugget in, man. I've seen a gentleman who had a crack addiction and life changed and had a child. And they didn't even say because of his crack addiction back in the day, they didn't even let the young lady at the time, which daughter, know that that was her dad, even though he was somewhat around. But because of his addiction, they didn't let him know. But because of the book that he wrote, he got his life, got a trucking business, was even in another state. But his daughter reached out to him because she had heard that her actual biological dad had did a book, and it was able to mend that relationship. Mm-hmm. Being at a book lunch and having a dude, you know, a gentleman share with me that his son, man, had seen him do the book, and his son walked up with two pieces of paper and said, "Dad, you know, this is my book. I'm going to be an author like you." So it's those type of things, to see the look into a wife's eyes as she look at her husband, or the children's eyes, they look at their mother or their grandparent, and they get that book done. To me, man, having a conversation before we had this interview today, where a gentleman who's in New York or whatnot, who owns his home practice, he was like, "Darren, man, that B-square method." He said, I didn't know. He was telling me, I thought it might have been like a sales pitch, but I knew I would refer to you by somebody who I trusted. He said, "But I see what it is, man." He said, "I wrote this book. I never would have thought that it would have turned into a podcast off the book that I did. It turned into where he creates like a 10K where people are, where he's focusing on health, and it's off the book. It's just so many areas off the book that has morphed into other opportunities that he couldn't even expect it." So those are some of the things when I look at the age group of books and opportunities of books, that it's the gift that keeps on giving, man. Outside of just, I sold a book for $20. Not saying I'm knocking that, but you have to think about opportunities with books, not just $20 sales alone.
Got it. And I kind of want to get into your B-squared method too, because I have a personal buddy of mine that has an amazing book that he wrote, and it's just sitting in his house collecting dust. So, and I've talked to him about different ideas of how to get it out there. But for those that, you know, have gone through the writing process and have a book, can you share the B-squared method and just the litany of different ways to monetize and to turn that book into a huge business?
Absolutely. For one, we got a course called Money Making Book Secrets that could be helpful for somebody. But for just right now, and I'm going back to the basics again with this, because it's foundational. you have to understand most people. When we remember when I brought up earlier into this particular interview, when I shared about most people are creating stuff for themselves, when you hear them talk, you can just listen to the languages they have. Well, I just want to write about this. And, you know, I was thinking, I think it'll be helpful. And this is my story. And I just want to, it's all about, as you know, if I was getting ready to sing in the opera or whatnot, me, you know, I don't want to hit y'all with all my singing and my bars right now. You know, I'm saying everybody's not gifted in all areas. It's confidence or whatnot, not arrogance. Okay. All right. Now, with that being said, you have to understand what do the people want? Most we create strategy. That's another thing that's a separator and it allows for us to distinguish ourselves from other people is we don't just tell you what you want to hear and throw a book together. We actually work with you and go through consulting so you can think out and ask you the tough questions. And not just because you think you done gave a few dollars that we're going to tell you what you want to hear. We're going to give you our expert opinion. So you have to think about who is this book for? And if the mindset that you have, when was the last time that you just randomly bought a book from somebody you didn't know on Amazon? Mm. Well, if you don't do that, then why do you think the rest of the world going to do it just because it's your book? So we help them ask the tough questions to get ahead. And I'm just going to utilize your friend as an example. I would start off with, okay, what was the book about? Who is it supposed to help? What is his goals for it? Is he looking at being entrepreneurial with it? Is this just, I did a book just to do a book? Is this a life story? So I would say go with that. I had a gentleman today. He's a GC, general contractor. He wants to be able to grow his business. And he has two different book ideas that he wanted to do. He gave me one idea, what he wanted to do, just actually focusing on things that he's getting asked questions about, really with stuff like DIY or even, you know, like the Home Network or HGTV and things like that. He wanted to be able to expound upon that to be looked at as an expert. And he had another book. So if you had another book and say, for instance, that book was a poetry book, unless he's going into doing spoken word and all of that, I advise him, do the book that leads to your company. Do that book first. So that's the B-squared method. See, the book is the appetizer that leads to the main course, which is your business. Let me say that again. I wish I had a praying church. See, the book is the appetizer that leads to the main course, which is your business. But see, if you don't know that, you over here worried about, they sold two books this week. And you're not realizing that the book actually could be, you need to have a paradigm shift. Shout out to my man, Bob Proctor, rest in peace, rest in power. You got to have a paradigm shift when it comes to it. So now all of a sudden, it could be that you need to look at your book because you'll be able to get off the copies and get it at a discounted rate with a print on demand formula. You need to look at that as a way that you might need to be gifting your book to key people of influence, KPIs, that could actually put you in the door so the law of reciprocity will kick in so you can actually get the deals that you're looking at getting. Mm-hmm. So instead of you trying to run Facebook ads and YouTube ads, you might have to go and just actually mail or send or gift to gatekeepers and other people like that, the book, to people who make the decisions. So you don't need to miss an opportunity to a person who's a head of a department that can hire you. You trying to charge them $20 because your mind hadn't shifted. You hadn't renewed your mind. So you think somebody beat you. Yeah, I would have gave it to them. But yeah, man, they didn't want to pay me $20 and I don't work too hard. I don't put all this money in this book. Somebody going to have to pay me. So you're thinking small. My grandmother used to say this, and I'm going to give you some good Southern knowledge right here, good Southern wisdom right here. She would say, you want to be big, but little got you. Let me say that again. You want to be big, but little got you. I'm not talking too fast. You're just listening too slow. So I want you to understand that you want to be big, but little got you. You want the big things. You want the success. You want the wins. But your little thinking is hindering you. Your thinking is hindering you. You're trying. It's different paradigms. You want to lead a 9-to-5, but you still got the residue in your thinking pattern. So when you go, as my man Robert Kiyosaki talks about, when you go into a different quadrant, you don't know how to act because you still have a 9-to-5 thought process. So if you go to self-employed, you don't, you're trying to, but you're still working. You still got a thought process and pattern that you had. And when you're self-employed, it's all about me. And it's, I can do this and I'm a technician and I work my own hours and all that. But then if you go to the other quadrant as a business owner, you realize that it's about collaboration instead of competition. It's about systems and about leading people and getting things done. And you can have a 1% of a company. Wouldn't you rather have 1% of Amazon and be one of the richest people in the world and create opportunities for other people? Or do you want 100% of your nail salon, but you don't have no money, ain't nothing coming in because you ain't doing nothing but for you and your kids? So that's the thing. And then you go into investor. So most people can't go into the investor part of the quadrant because the business and investor has to think differently than a person who's employed and self-employed think, because they're consumed about themselves. But if you look at the news and you look at media, they make it that the people on the other quadrant are selfish, but the people that are in the other quadrant create more opportunities than the people that's in the other quadrant. The people who are employed and self-employed are worried about only their bills and their families. The person who's hiring so many people and getting food on the table and paying for people, that's why they get the tax breaks and everything else, because the government can't fund everybody. They can't pay everybody. They can't give everybody housing. So the person has not changed their mindset. They still got a limited thought, a fixed mindset because of what they've been taught. So when it's time to go to another quadrant, they're bringing in that thinking. Shout out to Zig Ziglar, rest in peace, because they're bringing that thought process into a new situation. A biblical context would be you can't put new wine in old skins. So you can't bring those old ideas into the opportunity that you're looking for the next stage that you're in. You see what I'm saying? So I hope that's helpful, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Along with that, you know, there's this whole concept and idea, I'm sure you heard of it, that Black folks don't read, right? So if I am writing a book and I want Black folks to read it, it's designed to help Black folks. How do I market it or kind of approach it to get Black people to read? Is that possible? Or do I have to do an audio book? Like what in your view is going to kind of help me get that Black audience?
Well, I think with the Black audience, I think that's a myth, because if you really look at it, I just had a video that was up on my social media that it's really most people don't read, no matter what their nationality is. Most people don't read, period. But of course, because of our flavor, you know, how we've been kissed by the sun, we typically focus on people who look like us. But the truth of the matter is that most people don't read when they get out of high school. And so then we look at it and then we leave that stat there and we think, aha, you know, I went to college for a little bit. You know, I got my little, you know, edumacation, you know, that's just proper English for those who don't understand that. But at the same time, they don't understand that most people. And when I say most people, I'm saying over 80%. Wow, so let's get clear. Let's get clear on what I'm saying. I'm not saying this is not a 35, 45. This is not a 20%. No. Over 80% of people who leave high school, and then also over 80% of people who leave out of college don't even read books anymore after they get through. They don't, and most of them don't even buy a book again. Wow. So if you just buy a book a year, you're part of the 1% when it comes to reading and when it comes to continued education. Let that set in for a moment. Majority of people don't even remotely think about buying a book. You know, if they get a book, it's just like it jumped on them. It's like it was Corona or something. They were trying to avoid it and it just so happened they got it. You know, so they don't buy books. Now, if somebody's being kind or nice to somebody, if it's a family member, somebody went to college, they did a book and you were showing up just to support them, yeah, they might get it then. So when it comes to that, I would say when you look at whether it's, you know, Black people, African-Americans, you know, whatever, or anybody that you want to do a book, you have to solve problems. So you have to be solution oriented. And that's even the reason I'm going to be honest with you, Mr. G, when it came to me. My reading went to another level. I read just to get stuff done in class. But when I learned, and then I'm just going to give this to you, and this is something I'm going to kind of keep this where I keep it to my ebony roots, so to speak, when it comes to this part. When you give people the understanding that the game is in a book, when you let people know you get paid because you read books, when you realize that you got a shortcut to riches and opportunities and changing your family life, when you read, when you really understand, and that goes to shifting of the paradigm shift again. When you, it's like if the teacher give you the opportunity to have an open book test, or you just got to memorize everything. Right. Most people will want to be able to at least look it up with an open book test. That's what I like to explain for people when you think about reading. When people understand that I don't have to read stuff that I didn't want to read. People had you reading stuff in class that you didn't even want to read. But if you know that you want to improve your family and you want to create wealth, or you're looking for opportunity because you don't like how they treating you on a job, or if you find yourself, you know, getting back out and you're trying to get overcome recidivism or whatnot and not go back into the prison system, and you need an opportunity, but nobody's not hiring you, but you find out, okay, I can read this right here, and this is going to give me the game on how I can start my own business. So I know I can go get my little lawnmower, give me a DBA, do some things like that to make my own money so nobody can't hold me back. When you start understanding that your freedom is in your reading, and that you got a wealth of knowledge that people just left for you, that the names change, but the game remains the same, and you can learn from history, you will review, you view it differently. So that's why me being a history buff, because certain things can happen, but you can look back in history. That's why they say if you don't know your history, it repeats itself. The reason is you can see learning curves, and you can be ahead of everybody else because you've seen how new technology might have a different name, but how it was disrupted. So the way I'm looking at NFTs for authors is the same way that somebody looked at how the people that, who wrote, had horse and buggies didn't want automobiles. The people who had radio didn't want TV. TV didn't want the internet, and so on and so on and so on. So here we are right now in the particular spaces that we are. So these are the things that I would like to share with people when it comes to reading. If you solve a problem for a person, and if you explain how you're going to help them, like with me, when I was able to explain and share with people that, hey, you can do speaking, but you can have a line item and you got a book now that can raise your sales up thousands of dollars for their household. Bro, now all of a sudden I'm a value because it's not just me making money because I got a company. It's because I'm making them money. So when you're thinking about a book or you're thinking about a resource, if you can help somebody get more scholarships for their kids, that parent wants to read that. If you're dealing with breastfeeding for moms who want to make sure they have a healthier child, that's worth that for them. If it's somebody who needs to know how to be able to get a grant written and you're able to create that for nonprofits and things like that, but you have to go in with a goal of who you're writing to. If I write a children's book, I might not be writing a Harry Potter's book, but my book might be to focus on those like the Ronald McDonald's House or Scottish Rite, things like that. So I got a different marketing focus or strategy for that than I would with just telling everybody it's a $20 book, because I'm looking at bigger plays with those institutions compared to that. So if you're going and doing what everybody else doing, you're going to get the same kind of results. So that's why it all starts with the foundational piece of making sure that you have clarity of vision, which allows for you to have acceleration for the known goal. You have revelation. When you get the revelation, the aha, the epiphany of what you're supposed to be doing, it leads to regimen. Now you know what your strategy should be. You should be working on getting in front of the right people in the Toma and make sure that you're omnipresent. Then you switch to results. Now you're getting the results that you want with revelation. Then you get regimen, and then you'll get the results that you want.
Got it, man. Just a ton, man. I got to re-listen to this myself, man. Just dissect everything. In your book, Market Leader Mastery, you talk about just as you just stated, getting in the right room. So you quoted Robert Kiyosaki saying that the richest people in the world look for and build networks. Everyone else looks for a job. So can you elaborate on that? Like, after I got this book written down and everything, how do I get in the right rooms and build my network?
Okay, man, I'm telling you, man, we need to go ahead and charge for this one. This one right here, bro. Like, if it's
what I wouldn't mind right paying, here,
man, if they get this and apply what you asking in this room, now I'm sure this is something that we really got to understand, man. And this goes back to that paradigm shift, brother. Man, this is the game. You know, we look at it and we look at it in with a negative connotation, a negative thought, but you hear people share, oh, it's the good old boy system. They got a good old boy network. No, no, no. The paradigm shift is this. It's called mastermind. People have had it for all nationalities, ethnic backgrounds, different cultures, different time periods. Great minds met together. People met together. People who were in agriculture, they met together. What can we do to have a better crop? They used the idea. This is what I use. This is what you use. This is what I did to create a solution. This is what people have done for years. I think one of the biggest things that are hindering a lot of, when I say when it comes to Blacks or African Americans, when it comes to things, is that we have to shift our mindset. And so when it comes to networking, you need to know that you need to create your own good old boy network. See, that's what we don't want to talk about. A good old boy network ain't bad. The problem is that you're not welcome in that particular good old boy network or good old girl network. But if you create the network or get with people who align with you, because it's 8.5 billion or more people out here in this world. So if one group don't want to kick it with you, stop crying and whining and get with people who have resources, who got the skills that you have. And now you can take it to another level. And so let me break this down. I want to make sure that this is in bite-sized pieces. And I just talked to my sales team about this today. That's why this is just so fresh. Part of the reason why we'll be able to go and have premium and be the Rolls Royce is because I'm willing. And then I've prepared my team to think we go into areas where we're willing to invest to be a part of training. So if I'm going to being a part of a mastermind, or if I'm going to an event where it's $997 or something, or if it's $5,000 to be in the room, or it's $2,000, you start wherever you are. Compared to me going into, I call it like a broke networking event where everybody in there is thirsty and hungry. Everybody out there saying that they got business. Everybody just got off Vistaprint and printed out a card, and they just trying to, you know, nobody's listening to nobody at all. Everybody's thinking about how can I make a dollar and pass out how many cards. That is not networking. So when you're in the room with people who value growth and they have invested, because they're showing you what they believe in by what they're investing. Now, all of a sudden, you got a different conversation. Now, all of a sudden, typically that person who's investing like that, guess who else they're connected to? Birds of a feather flock together. So they're going to be connected to other people, and they're looking at and they're operating from an abundance mindset. So they want to see you win. If you have some of service of value because you are in the room to connect with them, you have proximity. Just like it's contagious to be able to get a virus, success is contagious. So when you're around other people with the right thought process, now all of a sudden they are referring your services to people. You are referring them. You can actually not actually just get a deal from them. You can actually use their services that can benefit you and your business. And so they're blessed by it too as well. And I think that's the separator, is because we don't look at that as a win. Our paradigms, we got to have a paradigm shift. Because if you're thinking, oh, the only person who's going to get rich off that, the person who wrote the book, I ain't paying for that. Oh, you know, I can learn that on YouTube, but you don't have access. You don't have the connection. I'm going to share this with you. The difference between contacts and contracts is the letter R, and that's for relationships. The difference between contacts and contracts is the letter R, and that's for relationships. That will allow for you to be recession proof. Why? Because you've built the right relationships. So people are not. Price is a myth. People don't really care about price. They want to know if you can do what you say that you are supposed to do, and they want to make sure that you're able to execute. So those are the things that we got to make sure that we're understanding when we come at looking at creating content and growing. You have to understand you can invest $5,000 or $2,000 to be in a room that would generate revenue for you for years to come until you actually transition and can be a legacy piece. But if you're viewing it as, well, they already got a Rolls Royce. Why am I going up there? They already get paid $1 million a month. Why am I need to try to save some money. And then this is another thing. I got to put this out here. Don't create the prerequisite that the only people you can give money to For one, you're thinking wrong with give money to. Stop thinking the only, or you spent money. That's the wrong language. You have to think, you need to invest with people who are having success. Because if you're not willing to give to some, if you're not willing to invest in people who are already doing positive and already have the results that you want, then what you're doing is actually repelling it, because you will have that same thought pattern that you created yourself. So you would never get anybody that'll actually invest $5,000 in your business, because you want to invest $5,000 in somebody else's business. Preach deep. You know what I'm saying?
So the thing is, I feel like I'm in church right now.
Hey, man, I'm trying to tell you, the ushers is getting up. Hey, man, somebody done fell out right now. Y'all get Sister Johnson on aisle 9. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, when you look at this, it's the mindset. I'm going to share this. Like J.R. Smith, I was watching a podcast that he was on, I Am Athlete podcast, and he was talking about
it. I saw a piece of that.
He was talking about, he was in a room, and he was just talking about some friends that was in the room. He's like, you know, and I said, I'm counting your pockets or how much money you have, but the rest of the world knows some of the contracts that you have. Let's say, for instance, one person got, they saying that you got a contract, you worth 185. I'm talking about million, 185 million, you got 175, you got 150, you got, you know, 75, whatever it is. Why are we going to UCLA to go and hoop or to find a place to work out? Why don't we build our own facility in the neighborhoods? There's no bank that's going to turn us down with the net worth we have. But it's that I instead of collaboration, as, you know, just using a biblical context of that, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. I'm just using this as an example of the power of the mastermind and working together. And so if you keep a myth that is, I'm not saying that systemic racism is not real. I'm not saying that we don't have issues. We do. But what I am saying is that we are kings and queens. Nobody can stop us, even with their method. It's just like you might can try to go out there and stop, you know, old Henry playing for the Tennessee Titans, but Henry will run you over. So it don't matter if you think you can hit Henry. Henry will run you over. That's what I'm telling the kings and queens out there. It doesn't matter that systemic racism is out there for you in certain areas. Nobody can stop us as a unified force. That's what I want us to, as long as you keep making somebody like they are a god because you act like that you can't overcome them, when that's totally a lie, and that allows for you to actually create an excuse for looking at yourself, then that's where we miss it. And I think that's the thing. We don't really understand how powerful we are. It's just like Thanos. Thanos don't care about how they join up or go against him. He's Thanos. You see what I'm saying? I'm using just a Marvel analogy here. He's still going to get the rings. It don't matter how Spider-Man and them come and Iron Man use all his little fancy technology. Thanos is still going to win. And that's what we got to understand as kings and queens. When we collaborate together, we create our own. And I see it happening more and more today that we're coming together. It's cool. I remember back in the day that it used to just have to be the dope deal and all that to be cool or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Now I'm looking at a day and time that we're in right now that entrepreneurship is cool. And I'm looking at it, well, I'm really excited about it because we got actual representation. Where we got people who are actually teaching, like Earn Your Leisure, I Am Athlete, Wall Street Trapper. We seeing people who look like us. So now it's cool where somebody's talking trap talk, but they teaching you about stocks and bonds. I mean, you know, I'm just looking at it. It's like what you're talking about right here that you're doing. And those who are here already know about this platform and people who listen to it. Like what you're doing now is cool. Now somebody can say, because they see Mr. G, that I want to do that podcast. You know, so that's a direction I'm going in now. Or I want to teach financial literacy, or I want to teach entrepreneurship. I want to teach people about nursing and starting their own practice. And so, you know, man, I'm passionate about that, because the networking and building your own community and the mastermind component of it. And mastermind is not just you sitting there reading a book, thinking grow rich. I'm trying to change that paradigm too. It's sharing ideas, working with each other, doing business with each other, connecting people together, finding ways for people to win. That's your mastermind, man. And so when you understand and get in the right rooms, this is what winners do. Winners invest to get in the right rooms. So if you're only at $49, then you invest, but you need to think to yourself, I'm investing in myself because I need to get in that $997. When you see the general admission is only $97, but they got a way that you can do $997 to get in the room with the people or to do the luncheon, instead of you just thinking, well, I can bring my own lunch and I can, you're thinking wrong. You're not paying for the lunch. You're not paying for the lunch. You paying for the access of the other people. It's not even really about the person who's going to be on stage. They're cool. You'll get knowledge from them. It's about the other people that's growth minded, that going to continue to evolve. Because the people that's in that room with you who in VIP or whatnot or got private access, they're steady growing too. So just like this past, just like this mastermind, this podcast will be different in 5 years. That person that you were part of that VIP is going to be different. They would have grown. And then all of a sudden, when the people look, well, how did you know that person? Now they went to another level. So not only did you improve, now all of a sudden you got access to somebody else and all their contacts and all their resources because they have continued to evolve and they have moved to the next level. So now when people look at you, it's like a quantum leap that you've been able to take.
And powerful information, man. I'm gonna have to send you some mastermind gear or something, man. Like this has been just amazing information, man. Just beyond the book and the business component and, you know, creating your own mastermind, man, creating your own industry and coming together with folks, man. I think that's kind of what we need to be doing more of and not like, well, how can I get, like you said, with the good old boys, like create the good old boys.
Yeah. So build your own table. Now I was saying it before Tyler Perry was saying it. Everybody starts saying, everybody, the people who are in my network know I've been saying it. Like, build your own table. I'm so sick and tired of everybody crying and whining, talking about they need to give me a seat. Why would, bro, think about this. why would you want to eat at a table with somebody who don't want you there?
Yes, sir.
Bro, if me and you together, and they had to force somebody to allow me and you to set that. So I won't want anybody preparing my food who hates me, who don't like me. Why would I sit down and eat food willfully from somebody who does not like me? Do you know what they could do to my food and what they could do to me? So why would you want to bank with somebody who don't want you? If the government has to come in and make you do a deal with me, bro, do you know that's not in my best interest? You don't hire a realtor like that. Where the realtor don't even show up or the realtor doesn't even like you. If somebody is selling your home or if you had a car dealership, if somebody doesn't even come out to actually acknowledge you and your wife or acknowledge you when you're looking at a vehicle, you typically going to go with somebody who shows love to you or has great customer service or shows interest in showing and talking to you, communicating with you. So that's my whole issue with our people with some of the stuff that's going on. I think we get blinded by trying to make somebody who don't like us. Because there's plenty of people that like us. So yes, why sir. In the world we look at our brain, our culture is all over the world. They wearing our gear. They listen to their rap and they all in China. They all in Greece. They're in different parts of the world. Even the team that don't win, you see them on kids in different areas in Africa and then also in Latin America where they still got the gear on. I mean, the people who come second best is still the culture is being represented around the world with. So why would you settle for somebody asking somebody to like you when there's so many people who actually rock with us, who invest with us and who will do business with us? But this is something, and this is going to ruffle some feathers here.
Let's hear it.
Why would I ask somebody to do what I'm not doing? If you're not investing in nothing black, why am I trying to make somebody else who's not my color invest in something black? If you haven't put $20 in the community, why am I telling all the Fortune 500 companies that they should put some money into the community? Well, if I had more, I would do more. Well, do what you got. See, that's when we get into excuses. Okay, what have you done to stop black on black crime? What have you done to extend a hand to help somebody so the recidivism rate is not as bad? When is the last time have you wrote somebody? Or when have you voted in a local election to try to change the situation? Or are you the person who just waiting for something to go bad so you can find a reason to go off? That's where the real change comes, bro. we're getting the legislation, how we're voting, how we're choosing to join together, holding people accountable, willing to get in office, willing to have people that look like us, instead of getting mad and making a person feel like they are a sucker or they are a loser because they have our skin color, because they choose to be a police officer. Why don't we have somebody who look like us, who can understand us? Why would we persecute people who look like us, who choose to have a badge? Mm-hmm. Would we want everybody to have a badge who don't understand us? They don't understand us. Well, when somebody does try to understand us or come from our community, we kill them too. So I'm just sharing this on a note that, do you just want to cry and whine, or do you really want solutions? Because you reached out to me and I'm connecting with you. I could have been like on my high horse. No, people show love to me. See, this is what people don't understand. And I'm going to put this out here right now. Mr. G is blowing up. He going to higher heights and new levels. But see, what Mr. G is going to understand and what he's going to remember, regardless of where I am and what I'm doing, I'm going to have opportunities for years to come because I took time and did this interview with Mr. G. Because Mr. G is already successful, but he's going to higher heights and new levels, like I said before. And let's look at it a different way. I got two girls and two boys or whatnot. There could be an opportunity where later on that my 6-year-old or my 12-year-old, 13-year-old, or one of my kids actually be able to intern for one of the companies that Mr. G has. See, but when you're not thinking legacy, it's not only you right now, it's the other people that can actually benefit by you showing love to somebody and the law of reciprocity take place. You see it with some of these coaches when it comes to hiring. You see where just like what happened with the Michigan coach or whatnot, you know, where his brother, Harbaugh. Okay, now his brother is an NFL coach for the Ravens. It was a younger man on the team that was a good coach, but they basically had somebody that they weren't going to replace as their defensive coordinator. So he reached out to his brother and like, hey, man, I got this young guy, man. He a beast. He a great coach. But, you know, I got a loyalty program. You know, the coach that I got is a defensive coordinator, man, he's solid. I'm not going to ever change that out. But I think if you're looking for somebody to help with your defense and keep it fresh, you might want to give this kid a chance. Now, some people don't like that. But this is how it goes, bro. That's his brother. Mm-hmm. His brother knows that somebody's a good coach. So you can put race on it all you want to put on it. But it's just like you. If you come to me, Mr. G, and say, hey, man, I got this brother. I know you solid. You tell me, it's a brother, man, I think he can really help you, man. He really can benefit. Or you might tell somebody about my service, a brother, he did my podcast. Okay, that person, because they know you, going to go with what you said because y'all are already tight with one another. So we don't even have to be about it. It's just because we connected with each other. It could be somebody else that had the same skin color of us, but if they didn't have your word because they know who you are and what you stand for, you being a person of character and having integrity, they're going to go by that compared to somebody else that might have the same skin color as me. So I'm just sharing with other coaches, other people. This has nothing to do with the lawsuit against the NFL. I'm not talking about that. I'm just using this as a case-by-case situation because we do know it's injustices out there. Let me be point blank clear, but I'm talking about the case-by-case situation. There are people who have given other people jobs because, you know what, your daddy gave me a job when I was interning. And I wouldn't be here today if your dad didn't give me that job. So don't you know when their kids come up that person is going to look out for that person's kids because that person gave them a job and they wouldn't be where they were? It's called respect, man. So this is what I want to lead the audience with. Stop being so emotional and be effective. And empower your community and empower people because you have the power. Nobody can stop you. And that's what I want the audience to get from that. Because whatever you focus on multiplies. So if you focus on being a victim, then guess what you're going to be? A victim. It's simple laws of this world. Law of gravity exists. If I jump off the tallest building in your city, you're going to see it on the nightly news. Period. It doesn't matter your color. If you jump off the tallest building, you're coming down. Okay, it's the same thing for us, the laws of this universe. If you focus on certain things, if you keep speaking things on yourself and speaking out death on yourself, you quoting stuff, then that's what your results going to be. Now, you can choose to say that it don't exist, but you're cursing yourself. You're doing more harm to you than with somebody else, because you haven't changed your thinking because you haven't read. You haven't been around another group. You still think what others look at as part of success, you look at it as somebody is hindering you. You think that it's less of you as a woman to be able to show love to a man, and you wonder why you don't have a man. You think everybody's supposed to be a video vixen or an IG thought or model. So when you get with a real woman, then you don't know how to treat a real woman. You are confusing being strong with actually being crazy. It's a difference between being a strong woman, a man, than being a crazy woman in a man. But you have coated or you have covered up your dysfunction by using that as they can't handle it because I'm this, instead of actually doing the deep work in yourself to make sure that you're functional and that you can have a healthy relationship with people. So I just want to leave us with that, man, if you don't mind, man. I appreciate you letting me get that off my chest. And because that's the real success. If you don't get the spiritual component, what is the spirit? Your mind, your will, your emotions, your imagination, and your intellect. Let me say it. Five components of your soul: your mind, your will, your emotions, your imagination, and your intellect. Your prosper being healthy is your soul prosper. If you don't continue to grow in your mind, your will, your emotions, your imagination, and your intellect, then no matter what anybody tell you, you'll keep doing the same thing. Your blood pressure high, but you still eating all the fried chicken and you dousing it with Louisiana hot sauce. And then you wonder why you're not healthy and you praying for help. You got to put the hot sauce down, man. And so that's the thing that I would like to leave with the audience, man. Shout out to Louisiana hot sauce, by the way.
The bomb of gems, man. OMG, man. Before you leave off, man, if we could just go into a quick little activity called What's Your Favorite? Just identifying a few of your favorite things. And then we will wrap up, if you don't mind.
Don't doubt, man. I'm with Mr. G, man.
Yeah. So what has been your favorite podcast that you've done, man? Favorite? Because I was going through your work, man. You just mentioned you have like a litany of episodes, a litany of authors that you've interviewed and just different things, man. So what's been some of your all-time faves?
Man, my all-time fave is like, I'm be real with you, man. It was a surreal moment. You have moments like this in your business and life where you're like, wow, look where this started and look where it is now. It had to be with Mark Victor Hansen from the Chicken Soup series, man. You know, having that interview, and it wasn't just an interview alone. It was like I had to work on my own mindset, because when the opportunity came, this is just telling you how we can repel success. I was already putting myself in the mindset that he was going to say no. Even though I had had the success that I have had, I was just like, man, this is Mark Victor Hansen, though. Like, man, you know, like I could expect other people to come onto the show, but I was like, man, this is the man from Chicken Soup, the Chicken Soup series. Like, man, you know, when I first started the business, I was reading his books and things like that on mindset and stuff at the beginning and hearing him. And then all of a sudden he was on. But Mr. G, this is something that even what I'm doing here, and I'm paying it forward. But I'm going to be honest with you, Mr. G. We talked. He saw my mindset before we did the podcast. And bro, the man, we became great friends. Like the man added so much value. I was respectful of his time. He just went way above. I had to shut the podcast down. He was just Jim. I mean, he was giving content that I hadn't even heard before. He connected me with people after the show. The man treated me with love like he had been knowing me for years. And it was his first time. And it was virtually even meeting me. And I was like, okay, now I'm seeing why certain people have certain levels of success. And that was one of the favorite ones that I had. Him telling me how he got the deal with Judge Ito, for those who go check your history on the OJ case back in the day, and how he did a wild marketing ploy where he gave the book to Judge Ito, sent the book out for free. His co-author, which is Jack Canfield. Jack Canfield thought it was a crazy idea. He said, but this ain't the first time you created a crazy idea. Judge Ito actually read the book and then ordered books for all the jury. And the jury couldn't even read tabloids or look at news. So they end up coming into the courtrooms with their books, with the Chicken Soup. That's how it blew up, because every media outlet from around the world was watching the OJ case. And that one wacky idea, thinking outside the book box, changed everything. So I just started realizing that success leaves clues. And definitely Mark Victor Hansen, man, that was one of all-time favorite because what that meant so much of me attracting that opportunity, being blessed with it because of the work that we had kept putting in, just like what you're doing right now, where people like that deemed it worth their time to even come onto the show.
Wow, that is powerful, man. Definitely got to check out that episode, get some of those gems, man. What has been, I know you've gone through like just a litany of different books and authors. So what has been some of your favorite books and authors?
Well, I'm going to give a few of them. I think one of my, I have to say, I like the 10X rule, like Grant Cardone 10X rule was good. I'm going with the OGs. I think Think and Grow Rich was good, mm-hmm. but I'm going to mm-hmm. give a few of them that are very powerful. I think like by Chip Heath and Dan Heath, the book called Switch. It's called Switch. That's a good book. And also I like a good book like $100 Startup. For those who are out there, when it comes to thinking differently and starting looking at new, creating new opportunities, it's been a metamorphosis, you know, a butterfly effect when it comes to this. But I think those books right there, because I call this method D squared. You want to go from it being daunting to doable. Mm-hmm. So the more you keep hearing and seeing people who just like you, who working part-time like you, who doing the things on the weekends and when they get out like you, then it gives you the understanding of the possibility that what can happen for you if you start taking those micro steps. So I would say that, man, yeah, 10X rule, Think and Grow Rich. I definitely think that's always an all-time good book to check out. And a book called Switch is very good. And you know what? I'm going to give another one that I think is real good. Now this person that I'm going to share right now, he's somewhat controversial depending on what circles that you're in. But the book is amazing. And that book is, if you look up, at the time he wrote the book, it was Dr. Hilliard. But my fact, I got it right here. I'm going to give you the name of it. I got it. The name of the book is Mental Toughness for Success by Dr. I.B. Hilliard. Hmm. You got to get that one. You got it. Now, you might have to Google him and go on the, he was a mega pastor. He passed it on to his daughter, whatnot, in the Houston area. But he got worldwide effect. It's like David Imanite, other people. It's a lot of successful Harlem Globetrotters, NBA players. His mindset when it comes to dealing with stuff and giving you tangible steps, I'm real big into that. Sometimes people can tell you something, but you're like, how do I start that though? Like, I mean, it sounded good and I know I need to do it, but like, what is the first step to that? And to me, if you don't get any of those other books, get that one right there. Yes, sir. I mean, and even if you're not, you don't have to be like a religious person. He's giving you principle leadership and success principles in that book that I don't care if you are an atheist. If you apply those principles in that book, the way that he lays it out, it is what it is. And some people can't handle that because that's their own mindset, but it's definitely a winner, man. That's something that most people, that's one of those secret books that the average person don't really know nothing about, but I've seen the results of so many people that have, and he didn't release the book until he had the proof. So he practiced it and he didn't release the book. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, you got it. I mean, it's even right now where I got it, it's one of those go back to where I keep it on deck where it's kind of the cover. I'm going to have to buy a new one because the cover and stuff is ripped. I got it marked all up. You know, if different seasons in my life, I can always go back to that book. And it's a game changer, man. Dr. I.V. Hilliard. Mental Toughness for Success, yeah. Man.
And if you say it, I'm getting it, man. All of them books that you mentioned, it's a done deal.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I hope that's helpful, sir. Man.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. And lastly, man, what has been your favorite success story, man, from publishing 30 Days in regards to maybe an author that came through, wasn't sure about what they was doing, and it ended up being a big hit, man, like their book or whatever, you know, they were trying to do?
Well, I would say one of the biggest when it comes to success would be me being able to work with the two-time Daytime Emmy Award winner, Kim Gagne, for as the Steve Harvey Show, executive producer at the time. You know, right. She did Judge Alex and other projects too. Now, the reason why this was such a unique project is because I actually met her husband at a book launch for another client of mine, and she wasn't even there. He was supposed to do a book because he had worked like with Michael Jackson and like a lot of the old school, like, you know, the OJs, all that, you know, he's like old school DJ and connections and all that stuff. So we hit it off. We were supposed to do his book, but he's like, man, my wife, Kim, she really needs to do a book first, like with her story and what she's done with National Association of Black Journalists and things like that. She's helped so many people. She call them her TV babies because she really did show so many love and actually got women and people of color actually into being on Fox and NBC and things like that and different opportunities. So that was very important to me because she didn't want to do the book at first. And he signed her up. So it's like, basically, you done found an assignment for me and I got stuff to do. You know, I didn't sign up for this. But long story short, the connection that she made, the stuff that came out in her personal life, please go get that book. It's called How to Win by Kim Gagne. Mm-hmm. And to me, the stuff that showed up in her personal life and the opportunities that came from that, because even a person like that that has so much success, and I'm going to share this because I think this is going to be helpful for people. She shared about a time where they was in Chicago. She had to make a sacrifice with the family. He was in Houston, her husband with the kids. Steve Harvey Show had really did a pilot. It took off. So they were in the big NBC studios or whatnot in Chicago. And she was, remember being in that, you know, in her big comfy office or whatnot, looking at the water and all of that stuff. And she had the imposter syndrome showed up where she was thinking to herself, like, when is somebody going to find out that I shouldn't be here? Like the success that we're having, like, you know, I shouldn't be here. Now, this is the thing that I want to connect the dots on. It's content out there. Well, now I got to find the video for you, but Steve Harvey has an interview. He has a moment when he's sharing clips and motivational clips where he shared the same thing, where he was sitting in that same office. So both of them were sitting in the same area in the same studios. And he was thinking, like, when are they going to find out that I don't know what the hell I'm doing? Like, I'm doing these jokes, like, but I'm doing stuff that I was doing for people didn't even pay me for. And now here I am with this top TV show. And so I heard it from her first. And then Steve has shared it on something, one of those candid things where he was just being personal with people and sharing his journey. And so to me, that made a difference, just like it was with the Mark Victor Hansen, of being able to work with somebody who didn't even want to do the project, who was, you know, resentful a little bit at one time. But to be at the book launch and seeing her cry tears, being able to work with our team members, hugging, and just so grateful and just see that it's still yielding a return for her, for its relationships and what it's doing for her family, because she got the book done, man. So, yeah, that's one that I would say was one of my favorite projects.
That is powerful, man. Powerful. Definitely got to check out that book, man. Interesting, man.
Yeah. And I was going to tell you on IG, on Instagram, not to cut you off, if you click the link tree on the self-publishing 30 days, our handle on Instagram, if you click that link tree, we already have some links in there for that Mark Victor Hansen one, so you don't have to search for it. So if you do that, it'll take you straight to that particular interview. So it just cuts down on you trying to look on YouTube and go on our channel. It'll have episode up for you where you can go right to it.
Yes, sir. Definitely got some homework to do. Man, like talking about all this, man, you're already establishing just a powerful legacy, you know, I think just for us and just for book publishing, self-publishing within itself. So just from your own point of view, what legacy do you really want to leave behind when people think about self-publishing 30 days, when people think about your 10 books, your podcast, your name, your family, everything? What is it that you want to leave behind and make sure that people understand and know about the work that you've done and that you continue to do right now?
Man, I would say this is how I would want to be remembered. I want to be remembered as a man of God, a great husband, that I was a winner, far as my children knew that I built them for success and that they knew that they were loved by me. And in the business arena and with self-publishing and whatnot, and I think it's already here, but did I leave a legacy of win-wins? And that's my secret sauce. And what I mean by win-wins is that the reason we've had the success that we've had, because we treat others the way we want to be treated. And what I mean by that is we create an incubator because we create ways for the people who are connected to us to get paid. And that is something that people don't do. So that's why I can go and share so much stuff with people. And they'd be like, why in the world are you sharing all this? Why? For one, I know people don't have the work ethic. For one, they don't have the discipline. They're going to jump from one opportunity to the next. As soon as they run up to a brick wall, they're going to try something new. They're not going to stick with anything. And the other thing that I know is that they haven't had a mind shift, a paradigm shift to understand that your currency is human capital. Mm-hmm. So when you create wins for people, you're able to extend your reach and you're able to actually accelerate your success because you're able to have more bandwidth because you got people who are rocking with you and speaking for you because you have found a way to create a win for them. And so many people can only think about what can you do for me? And they don't think about how can I, because they view it that somebody is beating me. They're getting over on me. They're making me lose money. And they haven't figured out that you need to find ways through the monetization of what you're doing to create opportunities for other people to win. Whenever you create an opportunity like that for people to win, you'll never lose. Like I created an NFT, and I'm just sharing this with just an example of this. I created an NFT, and I got an NFT right now that I call people today. And I actually gifted some people the NFT so they can make money off of it for a lifetime. Wow. So instead of just somebody getting, you know, a gift card and all this right there and whatnot. So now when it comes to rocking with somebody and it's like, whoa, Darren, he waived this fee for me of $3,000 and he's got it where I'm going to make $3,000 and more off every deal. And he's created some additional bonus for me. So what does that do for customer loyalty and brand awareness? That allows for you to be able to go to a higher height and new level. But if I'm thinking to myself, no, I'm losing money. You know, I'm losing this. Why can't I do what everybody else do? Just give them a gift card and say something nice around Christmas. See, you're thinking wrong. See, and so that's why when you show that kind of love, the law of reciprocity. Remember I talked about the universal laws?
Yes, sir.
When you so bountifully, you reap bountifully. Mm. You sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. You sow nothing, you get nothing. So that's just what I want the people to understand with that. You get a different type of experience when you think different. So keep this in mind. You got to outwork, out-strategize, and outlast the competition. Mm. You got to outwork, out-strategize, and sometimes you just got to outlast. And typically that's where that heart comes in. And when you poured out enough seed of pouring into people, then you typically will be able to continue to win in life. Even if you have some ebbs and flows or whatnot, you know, everything is not going to be great all the time. But believe me, those seeds that you've sown will be the things that you didn't have to have ad spend to be able to win on because you have people who are working and speaking for you in rooms that you're not even in. So just keep that in mind for those who are there. And also just realize that and remember that this is the year for your new book. So if any way we can serve you, help you, we got plenty of free resources. But if you want to benefit from some services that we have, then reach out to us. We would love to serve you.
Yes, sir, man. Man, I feel like I got 10 years of education in like one episode right now. I am so thankful, man, for just the information coming out for the program and everything. And we usually ask our guests to leave us with their favorite quote and what it means to them. But I don't know, man, you've given us so much already. I feel like I'm being greedy.
No, I got a quote for you, man. I got a quote for you because this is Mr. G, man. One of my favorite quotes is that most people acquiesce to known hells, forfeiting unknown heavens. Most people acquiesce to known hells, forfeiting unknown heavens. And what that means is that because it's comfort, even though it's dysfunctional, most people will pass up on something that's unknown because they rather choose comfort than deal with the uncomfort of not knowing what is on the other side. And so we got to be careful of that. Some people just be in a bad relationship because they're used to it and they don't know what opportunity. Some people are in a job that they can't stay in because they're used to it. But instead of I'm not saying just go quit your job, but instead of them taking the extra, doing the extra, that's what you need to be extraordinary. You're ordinary, but you add the extra to it. But instead of you just taking time when you get off, instead of watching Netflix, to actually get you a Udemy course or to get on YouTube and learn something or to get a part of a mastermind and get around a group and use what you can and continue to build, you don't add those additional hours because you think it's supposed to be your employer responsibility to take care of all your needs, your dreams, and your wishes. So what my grandmother brought up before for us, you want to be lit, big, but little got you. So your thought patterns and you're expecting the wrong people to take care of you. And so that's what I want people to understand. If you're in a hell situation, you know you don't like it. You know you don't want it. But at least I know that. But what if I go over here and they don't work? Instead of changing your mindset and thinking, if it don't work, I can always come back to this hell situation. But what if it does work? What do my life look like then? What opportunities open up then? What doors open up for me and my family then? If it does work, bro, if I wouldn't have took that step, it was a guy that told me about some podcast, and I was working at a Lowe's distribution center. And in Texas, it get real high to no distribution. They were loading up trucks and all of that. And I was working in there and doing some part-time gigs. And I just, me and my brother talk about that. Sometimes I think, and we passed by not too long ago, me and my family, and I was sharing with my 6-year-old, like, hey, this is where your mom and me used to work or whatnot back in the day. And if I wouldn't have never stopped, if I wouldn't have never started, it seems so far-fetched. But the person who was a sorter operator at that place now is a founder of the number one self-publishing company in the world. So that's what I'm saying. If I wouldn't have started, but it didn't start up with being the number one self-publishing company, if I wouldn't have took the step, if I wouldn't have listened to podcasts, if I wouldn't have read books, if I wouldn't listen to audiobooks, if I wasn't willing to invest, if I could just have $40, if I $97, if I wouldn't continue to learn and continue to grow, then look at the opportunities. I wouldn't have never had the experience with Mark Victor Hansen. I would have read his book, but I would have never been able to call him friend. I would have never been able to work with the 2-time Emmy Award winner, Kim Gagne, from the Steve Harvey Show. I would have never had those opportunities. Some of the people who have passed, who we were able to get their books done, I would have never had the experience of seeing their family members saying, we're so grateful that we got mom or dad's thoughts. We don't have to wonder what they thought. I would have never had those experiences. And so these are the things that you want to keep in mind. And I want to close it out with this one right here. And this goes along with that. Mark Victor Hansen connected me to a young lady. Her last name was Purdue. Her family is like trust fund babies. Like they got old money, like real old money. And they made their fortune out of the wine industry. So they owned a lot of Napa Valley, anything that's dealing with wine, they own the vineyards, the land and all of that. Okay. She was married at one time and her husband died, but she ended up marrying a guy out of France. And his family were the top leaders when it came to champagne. So they owned like a lot of the stuff, you know, when it came to that. So now watch this. I want people to miss this. She shared, and you would have never known this, like, man, this little woman, man, you know, she's so sweet. So just good people, you know. And she shared with me, Mr. G, she shared this with the trust fund. She said, why they have had so much success And what they got in the trust fund is this. Every member of the family that's a part of the trust fund, every one of them, part of them getting the trust fund is that they must write a book for the family library. Let me let that set and marinate like a good T-bone steak.
Wow.
Everybody in the family that's part of the trust fund, because they understood the wealth of being able to learn from the family's experiences and how they dealt with the Great Depression, with the world wars, with civil rights, with COVID-19. It can be one page or it can be 300 pages. It doesn't matter. But for you to be a part of that trust fund, you must write something for the family library that can be passed on for generations. So think about that history and the power behind that when it comes to books and trust funds. They left more in them than they left to them.
Man, I think you just inspired the first mastermind book, man. Wow.
Wow. Now, you see, now I could say, well, oh, she just was a trust fund, baby. Oh, they were just this color. Oh, but see, but how many of us are going to write the book? Because they're seeing past just their lifetime. Mm. They know that instead of, well, you just need to get it the best way you can. That's how I got my, see, you create generational curses. Add knowledge. And then, but you got to read the book to understand the value that's in the book. That's why they've stayed so wealthy, because they've been able to learn from experiences. Because if you don't know history, it repeats itself.
Man, powerful, 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 powerful. Mr. Palmer, it's been a pleasure, man. And when I start writing that book, I'm definitely hitting you up, man. Get that, you know, published in 30 days mindset.
Oh, man, definitely. We got to have you. And actually, I'm going to have you come on. I got an event that's coming up, Market Leader Mastery. I'm going to reach out and have a team reach out to you to have you to be on that. You can either do like a little presentation or we can have you as a panelist. Definitely going to get with you on that. Make sure we hook you up on that. But I want to say this before we get out. I want to send a shout out to Mr. G and the team. Brother, you're doing a phenomenal job. I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm just going to just share this. Hands down, best interview where somebody has interviewed me.
Wow.
Hands down. Your way of connecting, the questions that you ask, you've studied, you've thought about it. I've never had anybody ask me some of the questions that you've asked. And remind you, it says three podcasts. We really have more podcasts than that. We really have about over six different podcasts. We got two shows on Clubhouse. We got different shows, different people who are doing. We got about like six different podcasts going right now. I don't do all the podcasts, but different members of the team do the podcast and all of that. And so I'm familiar with it. We have virtual and in-person events, the whole nine. But I've never had anybody who was as great as you when it came to question. And I can tell that you was well-prepared. You knew, you flowed, and I'm excited about, and I meant what I said earlier, I'm excited about where you're going to be. I'm excited about what you're doing. You're choosing to be proactive instead of reactive. You're choosing to be solution-oriented instead of just, you know, crying and burying your head in the sand. You're staying focused. You're coachable. And so, man, I see nothing but the best for you. And those who are already a part of this, man, you are in a great spot. This is somebody who's taking time, putting effort in, sowing seeds to be able to continue to evolve and add value to people. He's practicing the principles that were shared on this show right now. He's adding value. He's doing stuff with people not paying him $100 million to do it. So that's where you see the heart of a person, what they're doing on their own time, on their own dime to get something out to the people. So that's where the law of reciprocity comes in, because you're sowing at a different level. You're giving at a different level. So you have a different expectation. So I want to give respect to you. I'm not telling you this because you're on here. For those who know I'm from Texas, we shoot first and we aim later. I'm not telling you this because you're on here. I have never had anybody who's interviewed me as great as you. So I want to tell you, thank you, because you pushed me today and you added tremendous value to me as far as your interview style and the things that you brought out, man. So kudos to you, man. I celebrate you, brother.
I appreciate that so much, man. And whew, man, that means the world to me, man, just looking at the amount of work that you've done and the interviews you've done and everything. So I appreciate it, man. And this experience with you today too has meant the world to me, because I felt like a lot of stuff I've been thinking about with writing a book and everything and just going through your work, it kind of really simplified the process for me. So I really appreciate that. And like I mentioned, like when we start the book, man, you will be a part of it, man. So I appreciate that tremendously, man.
No doubt, man. No doubt. Thank you for your time. And understand this, pros get paid while they work on the book. Rookies don't. They write like they write in a term paper. So before you even have your book done, you're looking at the B Square method, book the business to get paid. So what you do is you have the cover of the book done, have it on a landing page. People are paying you while you do the book. And also people, you're creating opportunities because top of mind awareness, people are sharing on their social media platforms. You're getting interviews, you're getting organic marketing. Most people wait till the book is done and then they start having to pay for ad spend. But if I'm bringing you on my show, putting you on my platforms and people are able to buy the book, you cut down on your overall investment because now the funds from the promotion goes towards the book. And now you get opportunities for other products and services that you offer. So now you're not looking at a $20 book. You've extended it where you're able to create more wealth. Whether if you got a client that you do consulting with for $497, $200, $100, whatever other products and services you offer, you put yourself in an opportunity to win. Most people don't do that. Look at the beta testing of the big winners. Coming to America coming out, Lion King coming out. They don't wait till it's out in the studio or they're streaming it. They're promoting it in advance because of the other opportunities. People want to have a relationship with you. They don't want you to meet them on the first night and say, let's get in bed and let's get married. They want to see you go through the process. How does the edits go? What is about this? I'm making a decision on this. Wow, man, I'm almost there. I'm at the halfway mark. They want to be a part of the journey. So keep that in mind. Just as some advice, and you can cut this off if you want to, just use it for yourself. But that's something that you want to think about. Anybody who's hearing and thinking about doing the book, it has to have that paradigm shift. Instead of thinking about, I need to get here, because now all of a sudden you took on the whole weight and the yoke of trying to do the book yourself. And so you end up with BR book remorse because you tried to pay all the money. You didn't promote early enough. Now you're paying somebody $7,500 who say they do PR. Somebody else $3,500 to $5,000 who say they do digital marketing. Now you're having all these costs that's added to you because you didn't get ahead of it at the beginning and have organic marketing. Similar to like Whole Foods and Trader Joe's. But hey, man, that's it, man. Thank you again, brother.
Man, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, man. And but before we leave, man, I know people will definitely want to know how to get in touch with you if they're interested in getting their book out or speaking with you for a speaking engagement or anything like that. So how can people find you?
Yeah, definitely, man. If you go to self-publish, the letter N as in Nancy, not I-N-G. Just the letter N as in Nancy, 30 days, numbers 30 or number 30, 30 days, D-A-Y-S. If you go on to IG, if you go on to Facebook, if you go to selfpublishing30days.com, you're able to connect with us there too as well. We'll love to connect with you.
There it is, man. Listeners, definitely share the program. The amount of information in this episode is It's a mastermind bomb. I will just say that, you know, share the program. Do not be selfish. Whether somebody wants to write a book or just wants to know the process, definitely share. Thank you for listening. Check out some of the work that Mr. Darren has done and his interviews and everything, and the knowledge continues. And remember, as always, your mind is the most powerful tool in the universe. Therefore, if you can think it, you can do it. If you believe in it, you can be it. And if you fight for it, you can have it. The world is yours. This has been your host, Mr. G, and I will see you next time on Mastermind.